because we're going to be starting a new series, a shorter series, not quite as long as what we did with Exodus, but we're starting a new series this morning on the book of Esther. Just a little bit of background to help put the book of Esther into historical perspective. The Jews are in exile under Babylonian captivity, and King Ahasuerus, who is a Persian king, he reigns over 127 provinces all the way from India to Ethiopia. So he's got quite a territory there going on there. And he's a powerful king, not just some low-level government official. He's a powerful king. And he is also known as King Xerxes. If you've heard of, I don't know how many of you have seen the movie 300 or heard about the Spartan 300, King Xerxes, this is the guy. He's the one that invaded Greece and tried to, and he eventually did get through. The movie is not historically accurate, by the way. But this is the King Xerxes that we're talking about, King Ahasuerus, and he's a powerful king. And so with powerful kings like Ahasuerus, when he speaks, you listen. Right? And there's no saying no, because he has power, he has authority. He could put people to death, and there's really, you know, who are you going to complain to? Complain to the king. Well, he's the one who's going to put you to death, right? And so this kind of puts us in perspective of where we are in terms of history and where the people are. The people of Israel are in captivity. They are under King Ahasuerus' reign. Okay, so turn with me, if you will, to the book of Esther, chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few verses in there. Chapter 1. If you find it, read along. If you don't want to flip there, that's fine. Just listen as I read. Verse 3. We're going to start at verse 3. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all. This is the party of all parties. 180 days, King Ahasuerus threw a party. That's half a year. Almost. I mean, you know, pretty close to half a year, right? A few days off. Half a year. Look, on Labor Day, that Monday, Alice hosted a gathering for the teachers from the English department at school. Maybe a total of 20 people, one evening, right? And, you know, I was grilling, I was cooking, and I thought that was a huge party. Right? He's thrown a kingdom for all the officials, all the important people, for 180 days. That's a huge party. What was the purpose of this party? He wanted to demonstrate, to show, these are my land, this is my authority, this is me. Come and see my reign. Come and see how awesome I am. For 180 days, come and see. Right? This is a very self-serving party. Right? So this is King Ahasuerus. He's throwing this party. And then verse 5, when this party was over, when these days were completed, because 180 days of partying was not enough, when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan the citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. When the party was over, he threw another party. This is like an after party, right? 7 more days. Their party. Verse 7. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, for so the king had ordered all the officers of his household, that they should do according to each man's pleasure. The drinks were flowing, right? The king's being generous. The drinks are flowing, but he said, you don't have to drink, because I'm such a kind king and a merciful king, I will not force you to drink. Each man parties according to his pleasure, to his comfort level. However much you want to drink, go ahead and drink. Verse 9. Queen Vashti, his wife, also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. So, the king's throwing his after party, a 7-day long feast. The queen has her own party for the women. Verse 10. On the 7th day, so this is coming to the end of 187 days of party. On the 7th day, When the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. So everyone's partying. The king's got his feast going on. The queen's got her feast and party going on. And the king here, he is merry with wine. Or, put another way, he was drunk. He was more than a bit tipsy. And what does he do? He commands for the queen to be brought out, to be shown off, right? She's throwing her party. She's hosting her party. The total disregard for what she's doing. Bring her out. I want my people to see her. Right? And the king was married with wine. Look, the word of God, the word of God commands us to be sober. And being sober isn't just about not drinking. But there is an idea of when you're not sober, when you're affected by wine, you're not able to focus. You're not able to make good decisions. And the Bible tells us again and again, many times, be sober. Right? I'm just going to read off a few. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us watch and be sober. Titus 1:8, be hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Titus chapter 2, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. 1 Peter chapter 1, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Chapter 5 in the same book, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. The Bible told us again and again. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be careful. Be watchful. Be awake. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people letting their guards down. So the Bible tells us again and again, be careful. Focus. Think about what you're doing. Right? Don't let your guard down. And Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus, he's not sober at this point. He's not sober, he's not being careful, and so he commands for the queen to be brought out. And she's beautiful, and he wants to show her off. And again, with complete disregard for what she's doing. Right? She's running her party. I'm sure she's busy being hostess. And he says, you know what? You need to come to my party because I want my guests to see how beautiful my wife is. King Vashti's not going to have any of this. Verse 12. This is where things start to fall apart. Verse 12. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs. Therefore the king was furious and his anger burned within him. Right? The king, he was used to getting his way. Right? Because he's a king. When he speaks, you listen. He's used to getting his way. And look, it didn't help that he was merry with wine, that he was drunk. Right? Now, when you think of the Bible, do you remember another incident where a king got into trouble because he got a little bit too carried away at a party? Right? Remember Herod? And he was having an affair with his brother's wife, and his brother's wife's daughter, which would technically be his niece, was dancing at the party, and he liked her dancing. And remember, he said, anything you ask, up to half my kingdom, right? You can have. And then what does she end up asking? The head of John the Baptist. Talk about ruining a party, right? And so here we see, when you're not careful, when you're not sober, when you let yourself get carried away, when you let your guard down. And a lot of times, these things happen. When we let our guards down, a lot of times, it's when life is going smoothly. Have you noticed that? It's when everything is going well, when you're enjoying yourself, when you're happy, when the blessing is flowing. That's when you get careless. Am I right? A lot of times, actually, when we are in difficulty, when we are in hardship, when we are in trials, we are actually a lot more careful during those times. But when things are good, when the wine's flowing, right? And sometimes I think, you know what, maybe there is wisdom. Not maybe, there is wisdom, but from our perspective, we often question, God, why do you let these things happen to me? God, why these difficulties? God, I thought that I believed you. You were going to give me this and that and bless me this way and that way. There is wisdom in letting suffering come into our lives because it wakes us up a little bit. It helps us to focus. And King Ahasuerus, remember, he was celebrating his success. He reigned over 127 provinces. From Ethiopia to India. That's quite a feat. And he's saying, come and look at what I've done. And he's at the top of the world, literally. He's having the time of his life. And that was when he got careless and showed disregard for his wife and said, your party's over, done with, come and be seen. And so, you know, just imagine, right? You know, party's going, you got the music playing, and all of a sudden, right? The record stops and everything comes to a standstill. Because the queen says no, and the king gets upset. And when the king gets upset, the party comes to a stop. You know, who knows? Maybe the after party would have gone on for longer than 7 days if this hadn't happened. But anyways, the party comes to an end. And King Ahasuerus asks his advisors what he should do. He says, all right, look, I'm really upset. How do I deal with this? And his advisors, we're not going to read the passages, but I'm going to give you their response in a nutshell. The advisors came and they said this. Look, if word gets out that your wife did not listen to you, did not obey your command, did not come at your beck and call, if word of this gets out, there ain't none of our wives going to respect us anymore. All the women in the land are going to hear about this, what Queen Vashti did, and they're going to think it's okay, and we're going to have a problem on our hands. Okay. And so, you better do something. You got to say something. You got to make this right. You got to make an example of her. Tell you what, King, why don't you get rid of her, tell her she will never come into your presence again, and find someone else to replace her that is better than her. And by the way, just so you don't go back on this decision, make it into a law, which by Persian law, once something has been decreed as law, you cannot change it. Do you remember the story of Daniel when he was put in the lion's den? Right? Remember the king, he was tricked into doing this, and when he understood what was going to happen to Daniel, he wanted to change things, and he couldn't because the law was a law, and that's a law, that's it. Right? And so these officials came to King Ahasuerus, and he said, get rid of your queen, get rid of her, find someone better, and make it a law so you cannot go back on this decision. Verse 20, this is at the end of what they were telling him. And when the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all his empire, for it is great, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. What a bunch of kiss-ups, right? Once your decree goes out through all your kingdom, and your kingdom is so great, okay? They knew how to stroke his ego. They understood what made him happy. Right? Once you make this decree, and once it goes out to all the land, okay? You're a great king. You have great lands. Then all the wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. Now, do you notice what's happening here? King Ahasuerus, he's upset. He's upset. I'm not going to say rightfully so, because he disrespected Queen Vashti and what was important to her. But he was upset. Now, things escalated quickly, don't you think? Right? You asked her to come to your party, and she says no. And the next thing you know, she's in effect being divorced because she wouldn't come to your party, and you're replacing her with someone else. Things got out of hand real quick. How did that happen? Because of his advisors. Because of his advisors. Look at the power they had over him. Right? If you remember what Proverbs tells us over and over and over again about having good counsel? Proverbs 11, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Chapter 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Chapter 19, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Chapter 15, without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So the Lord tells us again and again, seek counsel, good counsel. But what happens when you're surrounded by bad counsel? Do you remember, we all know King David. King David had a son, King Solomon. King Solomon had a son who became King Rehoboam. Now, the Bible tells us when King Rehoboam rose to reign, the people came to him. The people of Israel came to him and said, King Rehoboam, your dad put a lot of work on us. He worked us hard. Can you, being the new king now, can you maybe rethink his policies and take it easy on us? And it made sense, because what was happening during King Solomon's reign? What was he building? The temple. And so he needed people to work, and he needed them to work hard. I don't think he was being I don't think he was being a bad king. This was just what needed to happen. But now that the project is done, the people came and said, can we not work overtime all the time anymore? And so Rehoboam goes and he talks to King Solomon's elders, advisors. Because King Solomon was gone, but the advisors were still there. He went to see them. What should I do? The people were asking for a lighter workload. And the advisors said, well, there's no need for the work now. So, speak gently to them, be kind to them, and tell them, okay, I will do as you wish. And then they will love you and they will be your servants forever. Because, boy, they're going to love you as a king. Right? He comes in and he reduces the workload and he's kind and he's gentle. Who wouldn't want a king like that? And so Rehoboam, in all his wisdom, says, no, I don't like that. I don't like your ideas. So the Bible tells us he goes, and who does he ask instead of the elders, those who have experience, who have counseled King Solomon through all his years? Instead of listening to them, he goes to his friends, the young men that he grew up with. The Bible tells us his peers. And he says, all right, guys, what do you think I should do? So his friends said, go to the people, and you tell them, my pinky is thicker than my father's waist. Literally, that is a quote. They told him, my pinky is thicker than my father's waist. So you wait and see how much more work I'm going to put on you. Because his friends thought, show your power. Show your might. This is how you establish a kingship. Rule with an iron fist. Go, Rehoboam, we're all behind you. And he does it. He does it. And the kingdom splits in half because of this. And everything just goes downhill. And so when you seek counsel, seek good counsel. It is so important. Now, what does this have to do with the book of Esther? It's easy. It's really easy to look at King Ahasuerus and peg him as a bad guy. Well, there's another bad guy coming up. Well, I'm not going to spoil it. We'll look at it next week. So come back next week. But it's easy to look at this and say, King Ahasuerus, he's a bad guy. Right, he loses his temper, gets rid of the queen, and now puts a difficult situation in the kingdom. But I think as we study the book of Esther, I think one thing we can start to identify with is that we are King Ahasuerus. We can identify with him. Because look, sometimes we party for 187 days straight. Do we not? Sometimes we let ourselves go. Sometimes we get carried away and we make careless choices and then we get upset and then we find ourselves stuck in a situation where it's like, well, what do I do next? What do I do next? And then who do we turn to? Who do we ask? Right? And we see with King Ahasuerus that throughout this book, he waffles back and forth, depending on who has his ear. Right, we are all King Ahasuerus, and we all have different voices that are speaking to us. Very different voices. And over the next few weeks, we see that the king, just like the king is torn one way, getting swept one way or another, we in life often are also torn, being swayed one way or another, depending very much on who we're listening to. Right? King Ahasuerus, he doesn't know what he should do. He's lost his temper. Okay, that happens. Sometimes we lose our tempers. He gets mad at the queen, but now he doesn't know what to do because he's made a debacle, right? In front of all his guests, he's lost his temper, and so now you know his reputation's on the line. He's got to deal with it somehow, and you know he doesn't know what he should do. He knows what he ought to do, but he doesn't do it. He knows what he doesn't ought to do, but he doesn't can't help doing it. Is this starting to sound a little bit familiar? King Ahasuerus is living out Romans chapter 7. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very things I hate. And we're going to see throughout the book of Esther, this is the king. I know I should do these things, but I can't do it. I know I shouldn't do these things, but I do it. And he swayed back and forth. And you'll find in life, unless you are born again and you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within you, that you're going to go through life only being able to hear the advice of the bad counsels. If you do not have the Holy Spirit within you speaking to you, the only voices you will ever be able to hear is the voices of the world, the bad counsels. Sure, ask me anything up to half my kingdom, and I'll give it to you. That's the right thing to do, Jason. Sure, make the people work harder. Tell them that your dad's waist is smaller than your pinky. Yeah, that's the right thing to do, right? Sure, banish my wife so I'll never get to see her again. You gotta be a man. Show them who's king. Right? These advice inundate us. Look, now imagine, rewind a little bit. King Ahasuerus gets upset. That's already done. Imagine this. Imagine if the advisors had come and said, you know what? So what if your queen doesn't feel like being paraded around like an object today? We understand that you're angry, king, but look, at this point, she's got a point too. She was hosting her own party. You gotta respect what she's doing. So maybe you've had a little bit too much to drink, so maybe sleep it off and wait a little bit, and then when things have calmed down, and I'm sure the guests will understand if you don't do anything to Vashti, just calm down, sleep it off, and then when everything is calm, you and Vashti can work it out. Imagine if the advisors had said that. Imagine if that was the advice. Now, do you think King Ahasuerus could have been restored to some form of sanity, some form of reason? Do you think it's possible? I think it's possible. Why? Because the Bible tells us in chapter 2 of Esther, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. After everything had calmed down, when his wrath had subsided, when he wasn't so angry anymore, he remembered his queen, what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. After his wrath has subsided. You ever lose your cool and said something that at the moment, because you were so angry, it felt like you were completely justified saying? I've done that a lot. In the moment of anger, because I felt like I was right, and because I felt like my anger was justified, I've said some very mean things, some very hurtful things. And at the moment, as I said it, as the words were coming out of my mouth, there wasn't regret in my heart. I was trying to cut as deep as I could because you deserve this. And then the anger subsides. And then you regret what you said because you realize you were in the wrong. This is the king here at the beginning of chapter 2, right? When he remembers Vashti and what she had done and what had been decreed against her. This was the remembrance. He missed her. Once he calmed down and she wasn't around because he had decreed that she be banished, he missed her. And then he started to think about what she did and what was decreed against her because of what she did. And he realized how silly that was, how out of line he was. And he misses her. And look, if the advisors had just told him to calm down, we would have come to chapter 2, and his wrath subsided, and he But he remembered Vashti and what she had done. But all he had to do was call her to come and they could have talked. But no, because of what the advisor said, because of the decree that went out, they used him. They used him. Why? Because they wanted their own wives to fear them. Make an example out of Vashti. If a woman doesn't listen to the husband, she's gone. King, if he can do this, imagine what that could do for us. Imagine the fear that would be struck into our wives' hearts. None of them would ever dare say no to us again. Right? Because of the advisors who were using him to further their own agenda, their own purpose. They didn't care about the king. They didn't care about his respect. I think he would have earned a lot more respect from the people had he dealt with it in a calm manner. They would have seen our king is merciful, our king is kind, our king has a level head on his shoulders. But instead, now he brings my fear. We are constantly bombarded and inundated by the self-serving voices of this world. Constantly, the world would tell us to make choices that do not benefit us at all. The world doesn't care about us. The devil does not care. Well, the devil cares about us in the sense that he wants to take us away from the Lord. That's all he's after. He knows he's lost the battle, but he wants to take as many people down with him as possible. He doesn't care about our well-being. And so the devil through the world is going to whisper all these voices that would lead us astray. We need one voice and only one voice. And that is the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And this is the voice that will be contrary to what the world tells us. It will be absolutely contrary to what the world tells us. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to hear the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit if we don't want to end up making bad choices like King Ahasuerus did. This is what we need. We need to be able to identify the voice of our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, leading us in the right path, calming us down, when we're angry so we don't make bad choices, leading us in the right path when temptation faces us. In every juncture of your life, the Lord speaks and says, "Follow me." We need to hear the Holy Spirit. We need to be sober and we need to be vigilant. Jesus, we need to hear you. I pray this morning that King Ahasuerus will be a reminder to us, Lord, that the world desires to fill us with all sorts of bad advice. But you alone, Lord, care about our well-being. You alone, Lord, know what's good for us. And so help us, Jesus. Help us to hear your still, small voice. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted by the calls of the world. And help us, Lord, to seek after you and to follow you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue our service this morning with a time of thanksgiving to come and thank the Lord for what he has done for us on the cross. And may we take this time to meditate on the Lord taking our sins, bearing our sins on the cross, dying for us, and come and give thanks to him for all that he has done.